Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Today we are fortunate to have Deb and Jerry Pitzrick of Pitzrick and Associates Incorporated in our studio today. They will share how their entrepreneurial lives have evolved over the past 26 years and their journey as entrepreneurial leaders, their courageous acts. And I'm also asking them to be vulnerable because, as our audience knows, everybody fills out a self-awareness mentoring journal. And so we talk a little bit about our feelings to kind of connect with ourselves first and then move into an authentic conversation from there. So Deb and Jerry, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, good. Deb and I started our businesses around the same time in the 1990s. We'll explain how our mentoring and business relationship evolved into a life friendship. And that includes Jerry and their daughter, Stacy. So let's start with you, Deb. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm kind of curious about the whole process and, but, you know, feeling connected because I've got my family here and you as my friend.
Good.
Kind of receptive to what's going to happen. And I do feel grounded and optimistic about what's going to happen.
Great. All right. Thanks. How about you, Jerry?
I'm doing really well today. had a good day with my business, talked to a bunch of potential clients, and got some new business lined up. So things are good.
Excellent. All right. So let's go into a little bit of understanding about how you grew up and how you kind of came about to the business of Pitzrick and Associates, because it is a very interesting story, I think, for our listeners and to share. So, Deb, where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up in South Minneapolis, and in the mid-1950s, my parents built another house, and we moved a whopping 14 blocks farther south on the same avenue, which was all the change my mom could handle.
Okay.
So it was my mom, my dad, my sister, and myself, kind of the 1950s American family. So,
what'd your dad do? What'd your mom do?
My dad was in sales, and my mom was a homemaker.
Okay.
She had part-time jobs as we got older, but, you know, at that point in time, it was not the thing for women to work, and I think that always bothered her.
Mm, sure. And, Jerry, how about you? Where'd you grow up?
Well, I was born in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. And then my dad worked for a construction company, and we moved really frequently. That from Rice Lake, we went to Louisiana, Missouri, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Houston, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, and then Lake Charles, Louisiana. And that's where I started first grade. So we moved very frequently. And then from that point on, we lived in places for 1 to 2 years until I got to high school. And then our family moved to Bloomington, Minnesota. And I became a long-term Minnesota resident from that time on. And my dad was an accountant for the construction company that he worked for, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom and was really adventurous. That as we moved to all these different places, she was always an avid golfer. And so we'd join the local golf club, and we'd meet lots of people through playing golf. And my dad would come home and say, well, next week we have to be in Houston, Texas, even though we're in Titusville, Florida right now. And my mom's reaction always was, okay, have the moving truck here in a couple of days. I'll be ready to go.
Wow.
And so that's the experience that I grew up with and kind of the comfort level of moving and doing different things. It's just been part of who I've been since I was a little kid.
Okay. So you've adapted to a lot of different change and transition.
Yeah. And I saw segregation firsthand in Titusville, Florida, where there was South Street that went through one part of town, and if you were black, you lived on one side, and if you were white, you lived on the other side. And a friend of mine that I knew at the golf course was a young black guy that his name was Sonny, and I could play golf with him after dark or when it started to be dark at night. But he couldn't play when there were other members around. And then when we were done playing at the end of the day, I could go home walking down the street, and he had to go through the snake-infested swamp to get back to where he lived.
Wow.
And so taught me a lot about different life experiences just to grow up in places like that.
Yeah. You had to really work at developing friendships.
Yeah, well, it was actually pretty easy for me to make new friends and all. In fact, when we left Sioux Falls, South Dakota to move down to Florida, I told my best friend, Brian, who lived across the street, that, well, we're moving in 2 weeks. And Brian started to cry, and I didn't understand that because I was all excited. This was going to be great new fun.
Oh, yeah.
He was losing a friend, but I was off on a new adventure.
I see. So you were like your mom that way.
Right.
Like new adventures.
Yep.
I wanted to acknowledge your recent loss of your mom, too. I'm sorry about that. And
yeah, that, you know, she had Alzheimer's, and so it was no big surprise. It's been happening. She's been moving in a direction of leaving us for 5 years.
Yeah.
And she pretty much left us over a year ago, even though she just passed away 4 months ago. And so she's where she wants to be.
Yeah. Okay. And Deb, when you were growing up, what were some of the activities and things that you enjoyed doing as a child?
Well, it was a whole different time and a whole lot of freedom that I think a lot of the kids growing up today just aren't allowed to have with the helicopter parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was this whole scrum of kids that in the neighborhood would just kind of move all over. You know, somebody, hey, let's get our bikes and we'll ride to the drugstore and get a phosphate. Or, hey, let's go down to the drainage pond and see what we can poke out of the muck. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was always...
So you were kind of in groups of kids,
yeah,
like the neighborhood friends.
Right.
And it was pretty spontaneous.
Very much.
Nothing
very
organized.
Much. Right. I mean, that was kind of unheard of. At that point in time, it wasn't until you got to high school that there was any formal female group sports.
Hmm. Yeah, right.
GAA.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. So, as you were getting older then and went through high school, mm-hmm, where did you go after that?
I didn't. I grew up in a family that felt that as a female, if you learned to type, you'd have a good job and a career. And for the time that my parents were in, that was probably true. But that obviously has gone away. I mean, knowing how to type is a darn good thing, but it's not going to necessarily give you a challenging long-term job.
Yeah, that's why they stopped the typewriting classes in high school.
Right.
Right now it's computer science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So these are some things, too, that I, you know, mm-hmm, until we're talking like this, I didn't know about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun to discover some things.
Mm-hmm.
The couples that we've interviewed, or I've interviewed, I always include Mike Abea, our sound guy. They have described some things that they've learned about each other after the mentoring session as well that they didn't know. So I'm hoping that the same will happen here. So keep going along okay, with in your career a little bit more.
Well,
so if you were, so you took typing classes in high school.
Right, and the shorthand and the, you know, 10-key adding machine and some punch card stuff, you know, early computer kind of things. But
yeah,
got a job for a company by the name of E.F. Johnson. They did two-way radios. That were used in business quite a bit, construction sites and that type of thing. They were based...
Like the walkie-talkie
type? Okay. Type things, yeah. They're based in southwestern Minnesota, And they were expanding, so they opened an office in Edina. Hmm. And the regional sales rep was in there, the international sales manager, and the ad manager was in there. So that was just them and me.
Oh.
And as time went on, I think it was maybe 2-3 years, they decided to move everything back down to the main office in southwestern Minnesota. And I obviously didn't think that was a very good deal for me.
Because you didn't want to move down there?
I didn't really want to move that far away from family, and I didn't really want to live in a small town.
Yeah.
Found a job at an advertising agency, started at the front desk. They had an opening in traffic, and they trusted me with that. So I became their traffic manager. After a bit of time, I moved to another agency where I did traffic and print, and I learned to do print and broadcast production. Let's see. From there, I went on the client side and did marketing at a medical device company.
You had some fun adventures there.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. They're products that most people don't want to even think about. Thank you very much.
Yeah, go ahead and mention a couple.
Well, we had several different penile prosthetics, and we had devices for measuring and then some minor treatment of male incontinence.
Yeah, the prosthetic devices, those were implantable devices. So yes. It was before the days of Viagra to deal with impotence that wow. You had to have something stuck in your
inoperable. Oh, so it was pretty invasive.
Thing. Yeah, it was very invasive surgery.
It was. Yep. Ugh. Although ours was less than some other models. But.
So you handled the marketing of these prosthetic devices?
I did a lot of the... some of the diagnostic stuff, diagnostic product. I also did the marketing communications for all the products. Worked with the sales force, trained them on the devices. I'd go to the hospitals where the doctors were using our products, and we'd videotape how you implant the product.
Yeah.
So
you moved around within the company in a variety of different roles and
took
responsibilities,
more responsibilities
as you went along. Mm-hmm. And how long were you with this company?
Oh, what was it? 6 years, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right.
Okay.
And I was laid off there and went on my own.
We met. So when did you start getting ideas that you would like to start your own business?
Well, I found and this is something I kind of fought along the way. When you come through an ad agency, the sexy, I suppose, side of the business is the creative end of it. So that is something I strived to do. I found, though, that my gift is organization. And being one to be able to keep poop in a group, there are a lot of people out there that can't, which is always surprises me. So I found that being able to offer that expertise to people who are starting in business or have a small business, it was more marketable than trying to just sell being creative.
Yeah.
And I've also found, because I did do several years of being kind of office manager, freelance office manager for a promotional marketing agency. And that's where I found that I'm able to I'm able to speak marketing and advertising to accounting people.
Yes.
And then speak accounting to marketing and advertising people so that both of them understand what they're saying. Otherwise, it's talking at cross purposes.
Yeah. So you understand their agenda. You know the vocabulary to use with each group.
Right.
And that helped you to also understand all aspects of running a business.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. And let's switch over to Jerry a little bit. I can already hear kind of the entrepreneurial workings in your background mm-hmm. with moving around as far as meeting people and being very adaptable.
Yeah, being really comfortable with lots of changes and all.
Yeah.
It was no problem at all. And then when I graduated from high school, I'd always done really well in math and science. And so my guidance counselors all said, well, you need to go to the engineering school. So I registered at the University of Minnesota, the Institute of Technology. And I didn't make a single new friend there.
What?
All of my friends were going to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design.
Oh, my gosh.
And so for the first 2 years, I probably only attended about half of my classes. I almost flunked out of school. But I had a great time with the friends from Minneapolis College of Art and Design that we made movies. One of the movies even that the one guy, John Brister, he was the lead creative person at the College of Art and Design. And I worked with him on this movie called Spanish Peanuts. And we developed it in the early 1970s. But in 1980, he entered it into the Cannes Film Festival. And it won an award at Cannes for stop frame animation.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
Decorated little peanuts with Busby Berkeley, Carmen Miranda costumes, and then had them dance to this
oh
organ music. It was just over 3 minutes long, and I was
how
the only
clever.
One that could consistently count to 24 on a regular basis, so that's my job. Was it was 24 beats per minute, or 24 frames per minute, or 24 frames per second, right, was the speed of the film. And so, anyway, when I started at school, I started as an undecided engineering student. And after two quarters, my advisor there said, you can't be undecided all the time. You have to pick something. So I looked at the list of engineering majors and I picked aerospace engineering. Top of the list, A, aerospace. Hmm. That's all the interest I had in it. It was at the top of the list. So I did that for another year and I wasn't at all happy with that. And then I started taking music major classes. I never officially transferred into the music school, but I was there for a couple of quarters and then realized that there are some really talented music majors and I wasn't one of them. So then
did you play an instrument singing?
Yeah, I played the piano.
Okay.
Right. I always took piano lessons as a kid when we were going around the country. So then I got more interested back in the engineering and transferred to civil engineering. And that sort of connected with my dad's background in construction. Lots of people that work for major construction companies are civil engineers, even though he wasn't. He was on the accounting side of things. And that's what I ended up graduating with, was a degree in civil engineering with an emphasis in structural design. And it was during that time that Deb and I had met. And so when I graduated from school, everyone had always assumed that I'd go to work for the company my dad worked for because I had a couple of summer jobs with his company. But that would have meant moving, that I would have had to either work in the basement of their office designing structures, or I would have to move from one construction project to another that could be anywhere in the country. And because of Deb's background and all, it's like, no, this whole moving concept probably isn't going to work real well. So I had one job interview. I decided to check on smaller construction companies that were just in the Twin Cities area. And I went to work for a company called M.A. Mortenson Construction.
Oh, yes.
And in 1974, when that started, they did $30 million worth of work per year. Their big out-of-town job was the Becker Power Plant, which is 50 miles away, and it was a $6 million contract, and that's where I started with them. I left them 24 years later, and at that time, they did $1 billion worth of work per year. They had 8 offices all around the United States and had done work in 5 other countries. And while I was with them, was really fortunate. Every 3 years or so, I would have almost a totally different job, totally new career. Started as an engineer in the field and worked as a superintendent where you actually manage the workforce on the job site. Was a project manager. for several jobs, and then was promoted to healthcare division manager, where I oversaw all of our healthcare construction throughout the Midwest.
So part of this process of you moving around, so you went from moving around in different places to moving around within the company.
Right. Yeah, very much so. But it was always in the Twin Cities area.
I see. Okay. We're already at the end of our first session together. Oh, wow. And so I know it went really fast.
Right.
But we would like to continue for a second session. And so for our listeners' sake, what we would like to do is in our next session with Deb and Jerry, we'll go into a little bit more detail of how they met, and then we'll explore both Deb's marketing with the penile implant company and M.A. Mortensen, and we'll see what happens with how you arrive at Pittsrick & Associates.
Okay. Sounds good.
All
Very
right.
good.
So we'll see you for a second session. Okay. And thanks to our listeners, and thanks to Mike.
Thank you.